This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you about the issue of the Jumu'ah khutbah. The Jumu'ah khutbah is perhaps the most powerful opportunity to address our brothers and sisters, to address the Ummah, to address the world in general, but which is mostly squandered. The purpose of this short video and this lecture is to try to help us to make the Jumu'ah khutbah as effective as we can possibly do, inshallah. So let's begin by looking at who are your constituents, you meaning the khatib. Who are your constituents? If you see the slide which I made for this, you will find I have put Muslim men and women, schools and universities. This lecture is being done in UMass Amherst, so it's your own university, plus this is the city of colleges. In Northampton, you have others and so on. So it's schools and colleges, universities, Muslim women, children, media, government, Muslim scholars who are resident here, as well as Muslim scholars globally, any jamiat and madaris that might be here, and of course everyone else in the community. The whole purpose of the Jumu'ah khutbah is to address everyone in the community, and that's why all of these people are your constituents. Now, what do I mean by constituents? I mean that these people, their welfare, their issues, what's important to them, interaction issues between Muslims and others, all of these are things that are the concern of the khatib, and the khatib must think about them, and where necessary, the khatib must address them in the light of the Quran and Sunnah. What are the competencies for success? How can you, what do you need in order to become an effective khatib? Language issues, obviously, so fluency in Arabic and English and whichever other language, because here in America we are talking about English, but you might be doing a khutbah in Malaysia, for example, so Bahasa Melayu would be an important thing to have. You might be doing a khutbah in the Indian subcontinent, where Urdu might be an important language to have, or Bangla, for example, if you are in Bangladesh. In Sri Lanka, it would be Tamil, which is the predominantly spoken language with the Muslims in Sri Lanka, and so on and so forth. Social skills, very important. Your manners, a smile on the face, your approachability, all of these are extremely important. Knowledge and style of speaking. So public speaking would be a very important skill to acquire, and with this video, I have also given you my series of lectures on making powerful presentations, which I advise you to listen to those and to practice. The whole point of public speaking is that it's not a spectator sport; it's a contact sport. So you need to actually practice public speaking. In the words of in the book of a book called Outliers. Malcolm Gladwell, the author of Outliers, he talks about the 10,000 hour rule. He says that you cannot become expert in anything until you have done that for 10,000 hours. So if you want to be a great khatib, I suggest you start now. Stand in front of a mirror and do it. Then, of course, networking with Muslims, wide reading, technology, some level of technology savvy, and very, very important is to be open to change. And be willing to learn. So listen to other khutbahs, watch the khutbahs of, there are so many wonderful speakers on the internet, watch them, see what they do. But remember, at the end of the day, you are the message. So your own personal behavior, your manners, your walking the talk is more powerful than anything and everything else. The khutbah itself, as I mentioned earlier, it's often the only occasion for ta'aleem. What you as a khatib need to focus on is the primary issue of the day. See how you can interpret that for your audience in the light of Islam and suggest some solution. Very important to always, always, always give people something to walk away with. What do you want them to do after this is over? I'm going to be repeating this over and over again because it's such an important thing to do. So remember that a khutbah that ends without a clear course of action is a wasted opportunity. So don't squander this wonderful opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. What kind of topics? Now, three things must always be there in every khutbah. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Him and talking about His glory and majesty, His generosity and forgiveness, His mercy, all of these things. And look at our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all of this, and the reason this is important is because I worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, which is the second element, which is the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the importance of his seerah. So third one is the importance of focusing on the akhirah. So Allah, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the akhirah. Why these three? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one we worship, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one we follow, and through him we learnt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the akhirah, because on the day of judgment we are going to be meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, so to prepare for that day. In addition to that, suggested topics could be current events. The khutbah is not a place for tafsir of Quran, it's not a place for discussing masail of fiqh and so on and so forth. The khutbah is an ongoing current conversation with your congregation, so focus on issues which are important to them. Might be issues of the day, political issues, might be general issues in society. For example, drug addiction is an issue, upbringing of children is an issue, dealing with teenagers is an issue, parenting is an issue, teaching is an issue, interpersonal relationships are issues. There's so many different issues which relate to family, community, society, and so on. And also very important, interfaith issues, because we live, by and large, in a connected world. We live in a world which is multicultural, pluralistic. And so, therefore, the khatib must also, at some point in time, address those issues which relate to our relationships with other cultures and other people of other faiths and other religions. Focus continuously on what I call applied Islam. Therefore, what must I do? And that's the bottom line, the punchline of every single khutbah should be, therefore, what must I do? This should be clear, and it is your job as a khatib to make this clear, inshallah. Now, preparation is the key. The khutbah is only as good as the preparation. And the preparation begins with connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and checking our own niyyah. We know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, which is the first hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, where he said, I have heard Samaitu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, innama al-amalu bin niyat wa innama li kulli imri'in ma nawa, which means the reward of deeds depends upon the intentions, and every person will get the reward according to what he or she intended. So therefore, very important to start with this thought, to make istighfar and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the islah of our niyyah, to make our niyyah full of sincerity and not something which is corrupted by ar-riya, which is showing off, or corrupted by anything else, seeking benefit from others, trying to impress people, or whatever the case might be. The niyyah must be pure and purified from all of these things. It must be, the niyyah is purely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Which is why to continuously make istighfar while you are speaking also is very, very important, inshallah. Now, what are the sources of information when you are preparing a khutbah? Number one source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And that means to pray tahajjud and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. I recommend this sequence for you. Make this a sequence in your whole life, inshallah, not only on the day you are doing khutbah, but definitely on that day, which is start with tahajjud, pray tahajjud, make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the words to reach the hearts of people before your voice reaches their ears. Tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, give me these words. the hearts of people are in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, the hearts of people are between the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah can change the hearts as He wants. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, change the hearts before I even speak to them. Change the hearts, connect them with yourself, and fill their hearts with your majesty and noor and glory. Make this dua and do this in tahajjud, in sujood, inshallah, and ask Allah's help. Then spend, after you finish praying tahajjud, then spend time in reading Quran until Salatul Fajr. Go to the masjid, play Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah, make dua again. Sit there in dhikr, then at the time of Ishraq, of Salatul Duha, pray two rakat and two rakat. Ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who does this, who prays the Salatul Duha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes his kafil, becomes his sponsor and his protector for the whole of the day. We need that, so ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first source of information is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Then of course everything else, which is the Quran itself, ahadith, explanations of the ahadith, Siratul Nabi, Sirah of the Sahabas, biographies in general are a very good source of information and source of inspiration for what you want to say in the khutbah. Science, nature, literature, internet, khutbah, and khatibs, news and current events, all of these things, very important for you to use all of these. Always, always ensure that you're using authentic sources. Always ensure that what you speak is backed with empirical evidence to show that what you're saying is right and correct. Don't just pick up some report from somewhere, some WhatsApp thing which is a rumor or something, and speak it in the khutbah. It detracts from your credibility. The basic structure of the khutbah is as follows. I'm trying to, obviously, I'm sure you understand and know this, that there will be some changes and difference in structure depending on the madhab of the place where you are speaking. But what I am suggesting to you is something which will work with all the madhab. So you are safe as long as you do that. Number one starts with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Start the khutbah with that. As you come onto the minbar, say Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and sit down. Then the muazzin will call the adhan. And after he calls the adhan, you stand up and you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then you remind people to have taqwa. The simplest thing is to memorize the Masnoon Khutbah, the Khutbah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is very easy, which has the two or three ayat relating to taqwa in that. So say that. And after that, give your message. Whatever khutbah you have prepared, you talk about that. Give your message. And then usually I suggest give half the message, then sit down, make istighfar, then stand up again. Start again with Bismillah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and then send salutations and salat and salam on Rasulullah and his Sahaba, and after that give the rest of your message and then make dua. And after the dua, you say Aqimus Salah, and the Salah has been established, and then come down from the mimbar and the Muazzin will call the Iqama, and then you lead Salah. This is the structure of the khutbah. Now, keep this structure in mind. This is very important for you to keep this structure in mind as you go forward. However, one point I want to make is, remember that the structure which I mentioned to you is the structure that is used generally in the Shafi'i Mazhab and in most countries in the Middle East and in America and Malaysia and so on and so forth. In the Ahnaf, with the followers of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, which is would be most of the Indian subcontinent, would be mostly in South Africa, in Sri Lanka. In Sri Lanka, it depends on some places. Most Sri Lankans are Shafi. Sometimes some places in the UK and some of the Hanafi Masajid in America also. The structure is slightly different, which is that your khutbah, meaning the lecture that you prepared, is not given on the minbar. So before the adhan of the minbar, they will ask you to speak, so you speak for that time. You deliver your whole lecture completely, fully, standing on the floor, or maybe sitting in a chair if you like, whatever. You finish that. After that, you get up on the minbar, say Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The muazzin will call the adhan. And then you do the Arabic khutbah alone in two parts, between the two parts, you sit down, and then you finish with Aqimus Salah, and you come down and you lead the Salah. So this is these are the two ways in which the khutbah is delivered. Now, before you begin, I'm sure you will do this, but I just want to cover all the points. Before you go into any masjid, before you begin that, ask the imam of the masjid what their norm is. Either of these methods is fine, alhamdulillah, and you can follow whichever it is, but follow the method for that masjid so that there is no unnecessary confusion in the minds of people. One more very important thing. Try to learn something about the congregation. Try to learn something about what they do in that place for Jummah. I have found the safest thing to do in whichever masjid you are is to do the bayan, which is the khutbah in the Hanafi masajid. When you stand on the floor and you give the talk, it is called the bayan. So, but it is the khutbah. Or in the other case where you are on the minbar, either way, just do that alone. Don't lead salah. If you can get away with that, you are lucky. Tell the imam, let him do the salah, and you do the khutbah alone. The reason I'm saying that is, in many cases, masajid have, communities have different things they do after the salah. In some cases, after the salah, the imam will make dua bil jahar, will make dua loudly in their local language. So in India, for example, it is done in Urdu, and so forth. So this is one thing which they do. In some other cases, I've seen in many masajid in Malaysia and so on, they do the Tasbih Fatimi, the dhikr, which is the masnoon dhikr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They do that loudly. The imam will lead that dhikr, and they do that dhikr loudly, and so on and so forth. Now, you, depending on whatever mazhab you are following, you may or may not want to do all of that. So the best thing is, don't get into any of that controversy. Don't get into the issue of, you know, is it permissible, not permissible. That's not your role there. So just go do the khutbah. Tell the imam, please do whatever you need to do. Now, if the imam does not agree to that, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they will insist on asking you to lead the salah. This is an honor for you. Alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong with that. If the imam tells you, please lead the salah, alhamdulillah, they are honoring you. So accept it, and then tell the imam, as soon as I finish the salah, I'm going to move aside and I will follow whatever you do. So please continue whatever you do normally in your masjid. The reason I'm saying that is because the congregation does not know you. The congregation does not know your madhab. The congregation does not know what you follow, what you don't follow. And the congregation does not need to know that also. As I said, that's not your job there to convince them for one thing or the other. So if you get involved in all of this, if you do something which the congregation does not know, or if you don't do something which they normally do, it creates confusion. Also, for those of you who know the different ways, styles of recitation and so on, please understand that the Jummah Salah is not the place where you want to suddenly demonstrate a way of recitation that people may not be familiar with, because you will cause endless confusion. You are right in reciting in that way, but people don't know that. Most people don't know that, and they will think that you have made a mistake. They will think that their Salah has gone bad because the imam recited the Quran wrongly, and it creates a lot of confusion. Don't do that. Do the recitation in the normal way, which is what we always hear everywhere, and whatever is done in that place. Don't try any experimentations in that place. That is, the Jummah is not the time for all that. Finally, very, very important, dress in a dignified way. And the dignified way means to cover your head. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to, the ahadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma and others, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always gave the khutbah with a turban on his head. The turban, he sometimes tied it over a cap or over a helmet, or just the turban by itself on his blessed head. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not give the khutbah with a bare, with his head bare. So please don't do that. Wear a topi, wear a cap, wear a turban is the best. Alhamdulillah, this is waqar, this is the beauty of Islamic dress. Always do that. Do not go on to the minbar. It's not, the minbar is not just, another place to sit, right? So don't go there wearing some jeans and t-shirt or something and put your hoodie up or something. Please don't do any of this stuff. If take the trouble, time and trouble to prepare for the khutbah, which includes your appearance. If you don't want to do that, then don't give the khutbah. As simple as that. Now, I call this the three R's, the pre-work that you need to do. Research, record, rehearse. Good research is critical to impact. If you, as I mentioned earlier, don't say anything without a dalil, right? This is a khutbah is not the place for you to tell stories. If you have a story to tell, there should be a record of that. There should be a dalil for this. Mention the book, mention the place from where you got the story. Number two is record. Write down your khutbahs. I have given you and I will give you a list of four of my khutbah books. Each one has 52 khutbah in it. The fifth book is being getting ready. So that will be another 52. So totally, you will get a set of 250 or 260 khutbahs, right? Now, for you, my students here and my friends here, all you need to do is start with the first khutbah in the first book, go to the end of the fifth book, and by then it is 252 khutbahs, meaning 5 years, and you would have graduated and gone home from here, even if you were a bad student. So I think it's this is a good resource for you, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, these books are used in different countries in the world for the training of khatibs. The reason I'm mentioning this to you is because the reason I have 5 books, and inshallah, as long as I live, they will continue, and as long as I give khutbahs, the reason I have that is because I write them down. Please write khutbahs. There are literally hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of khatibs all over the world giving beautiful khutbahs with beautiful thoughts and so on and so forth, but they are not recorded, so they are lost. So nobody knows who said what. That's a terrible tragedy. Don't do that. Write down your khutbah. Another big reason for writing down the khutbah is because you also want a record of what you said, so that you can go back to it and you can reframe it, you can use it, and so on and so forth. Third thing is, you have done all the research. It makes eminent sense to record that research in a place where it is available for you to refer to it where you need it. And then finally, the third are rehearse. Rehearse, rehearse, rehearse. Even for the world's greatest expert, rehearsing is absolutely critical, absolutely essential. Because impact is directly proportional to preparation. If you didn't prepare, your impact will not be there. As simple as that. There's no magic. It's just a matter of correct practice. Stand in front of a mirror. Today, it has become so easy. Just stick up a phone with you. Get one of these phone tripods. Stick up your phone and record yourself. Play it back and you will realize what you are doing. No, you don't need anyone to train you. You can train yourself. The simplest thing is that. Record yourself, play it back, and listen to yourself, watch yourself on the video, and you will know what you are doing right, you will know what you are doing wrong, and you can correct yourself. Technology has made these things so easy for us today. Now, delivering the khutbah. Rehearse, revise, record, revisit. 4 hours. Rehearse, revise, record, and revisit. I'm not talking about the actual khutbah. Always, always, always rehearse before you get to the khutbah. Then you revise that. After you rehearse, revise it and so on and so forth. Make sure it's perfect. And then when you are actually delivering the khutbah, record it. Get your phone, put it in your pocket, have a mic, attach it. It's very simple. The technology costs nothing. You already have it in your pocket. But audio recording, no need to have a video recording of the khutbah. If it is arranged by the masjid, that's fine. But don't worry about that. Just have an audio record and play it back when you get back home. See what you did, see what you said, and correct it the way you want it. Understand that audio recording is also a very good safety measure in today's world. Because sometimes people misunderstand what you are saying, or maybe somebody is being mischievous and they want to corrupt, or they want to, turn around what you have said and create some negativity out of it. If you have a recording, audio recording, then that puts paid to any of those attempts. You can simply play it back and people know exactly what you said. So always record your khutbah. It's not a matter of showing off to anybody. If you want, you can throw away the record, but always record your khutbah. It's a safety issue. I recommend this to all masajid as well. Record the khutbah of everyone who speaks in your masjid. This is good for your own safety. Now, in the khutbah, what are you going to be doing? You are going to be giving solutions from an Islamic perspective. Here is an issue. Here is the Islamic perspective. How must I do that? We have issues with the raising of children. We have the issues with employment. We have issues with people getting stressed out with their work. We have issues with people falling into haram transactions in order to make money or in order to buy a house or whatnot. We have issues with manners, with akhlaq, with معاملات with our dealings with each other, whatever might be the issues, here is the issue and here is the solution. Don't talk about the problem alone. Continuously going on talking about the problem, complaining only gets people depressed. There's nothing beneficial out of that. So don't do that. Avoid all negativity. Never give negative messages. Always focus on the positive. Because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, whose power is unlimited, whose treasures are unlimited, whose ability to do things is unlimited. And we ask Him, now what on earth is there to be negative about? Tell me. I mean, if we don't have hope, then who in the world should have hope? This would be absolutely tragic if we projected ourselves in that way. So please don't do that. No negativity. Talk about the issue. It is difficult. Alhamdulillah. It's like the weights in a gym. The weight is heavy. Alhamdulillah. And when I lift that heavy weight, it's going to pain. It's going to hurt. But every pain is building muscle. It's building my strength. So Alhamdulillah. That's the approach to take. I keep saying it again and I will say it again. Focus on the takeaway. Focus on the action. At the end of this khutbah, what do you want people to do? As I mentioned again, the khutbah is not storytelling. The khutbah is not a intellectual discussion of a theological point. The khutbah is not tafsir of the Quran. The khutbah is a call to action. And therefore, it must be clear to people what they are calling, what you are calling them to, and what is it that you want them to do. So always keep the structure in mind and keep your notes in your hand. You don't need to refer to the notes if you don't want to, but keep them in your hand or put them on the lectern in front of you in a way that is easily accessible, right? Be careful. Don't have the notes unpinned and then you have the papers get interchanged and now you are searching around for papers on the lectern. Everything looks very bad. Please don't do that. Clip them. Make sure that the pages are always numbered when you print them. If you don't want to print them, put it on your device, whatever it is. But ensure the pages are numbered and you follow that script. Three stages in the khutbah. Get attention, keep attention, punchline. Get the attention by defining the topic. I am here to talk to you about how to give a great khutbah. Straight away. This is my topic. This is what I'm here to talk to you about. Keep attention. Keeping attention, remember, everyone listens to this particular FM channel. What's that channel? It's called WIIFM. What's in it for me? Imagine that everyone in front of you is asking you this question. What's in it for me? Why must I listen to you? Why must I pay attention to you? Obviously, people won't ask you that question because it's impolite, but believe me, it's a safe assumption to make that they have this question in their minds. So address that question, answer that question for them. Why should they pay attention to you? Why should they look at you? Why should they listen to you? Very important to understand this. WIIFM. What's the FM station that everybody listens to? WIIFM. This applies to the khutbah. This applies to every human communication, whatever it is. When you are talking to people, keep this in your mind and you will find you will become a very effective communicator because you are addressing that unspoken but very powerful need in the mind and heart of everyone. Why should I listen to you? So get their attention by stating the topic up front. Keep their attention by addressing what's in it for them. And the punchline, what do you want me to do? I have listened to you. I believe you. I accept it. I accept what you're saying. I like what you're saying. Now, what do you want me to do? This is the message that you need to give them. So give them something to take away, something to do after they get back home or get back to work or wherever they're getting back to. That is very critically important. Three stages. Get attention. Keep attention. Punchline. My brothers and sisters, here is a picture of the mimbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you see that is the mihrab, that is where he used to stand to give the khutbah. If you are facing that mihrab, on your left is the Rawda Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the privilege of praying in the space between his house and his Rawda, between his Rawda and his mimbar, which he called Ar-Riyadul Jannah. He said this is the garden of Jannah. pray in that garden of Jannah and then make dua and say, oh Allah, you permitted me into Jannah, now do not send me away out of Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has entered into Jannah will remain there. Alhamdulillah, we pray in Riyadhul Jannah, in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, with this belief that this is the one of the gardens of Jannah, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith. Make this dua, and I make this dua for you, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you 2 rakat of salah at least in Riyadhul Jannah fi Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, and consider this as your entry into Jannah in the Akhirah, inshaAllah, that Allah will not send you out of this Jannah, that now that He has allowed you into His Jannah. My reason I'm saying all this, my brothers and sisters, is this, that you, Mr. Khatib, when you are standing on the mimbar, you are standing in the place of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Do not disgrace that position by how you appear, by what you say, and by how you say it. Remember that you are standing in the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respect that, honor that, and ensure that you do not do anything to bring disrepute or disgrace to the position of the mimbar of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fulfill the right of the mimbar. What is the right of the mimbar? Number one is that you speak only the truth. Don't try to please anybody. Continuously seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speak only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. Fear only Allah and nobody else. And very important, never take money to do the khutbah. Please understand, if you can't do that, if you cannot speak the truth, if you are afraid of people and you are not afraid of Allah, and if you are taking money to do the khutbah, please don't do that. Do not do the khutbah. If you cannot follow these 3 rules of mine, do not do the khutbah. Because understand, to pray Jum'ah is fard, to do the khutbah is not fard. Do not do something which is not even fard, and do it in a way where you become culpable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are, may Allah protect you and forgive you. If He does not forgive you, then Allah can punish you. Don't put yourself in that position, makes no sense whatsoever. So understand that to listen to the khutbah is fard, to give the khutbah is not fard. If you can't do it with the integrity of the khutbah, which means you speak only the truth, you fear only Allah, and you take no money for the khutbah, under any pretext. If you can't do that, don't do the khutbah. As simple as that, right? Continuously make istighfar as you are speaking in your heart. Continuously make istighfar. Continuously check your ikhlas. Continuously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and to save you from saying something which is harmful for yourself and the people and which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah to protect your tongue. Ask Allah to protect your heart. This connection is extremely important. Right through the khutbah, when you finish the khutbah, make istighfar once again. Now, on the mimbar, please understand, people listen with their eyes. People listen with their eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. So, 3 things that you need to do in order to build your confidence. 1, prepare. Do your homework. 2, do your homework. 3, do your homework. There is no substitute for homework. If you did not do your homework, nobody can save you. So make very sure that you have done your homework. Now, culture is very important. The culture of the place and the culture of the audience. And in the culture, what not to say is more important than what to say. It doesn't matter if you didn't say something, but if you say the wrong thing, it can have all kinds of bad effects. So ensure that you know the audience, ensure that you learn about the audience, ensure that you understand if there are any taboos, if there are things that that in that particular country that you should say or you shouldn't say. The first time I spoke in Malaysia, for example, the Imam, may Allah bless him, he told me that in Malaysia, we send Salat and Salam on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in both parts of the khutbah, in the first one and the second one, both. The usual thing is that we do that in the second one only, but he said, here we do it on both. I said, Alhamdulillah, sending Salat and Salam on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, more the better for us. So therefore, I was able to do that. But that's because I first listened to the Imam and I requested him and I asked him to advise me. So ask, talk to the local people. They will tell you if there is what is in their culture, what should you speak, how should you speak. Find out if there are women also in the masjid. In some cases, they may not be. But if they are, then ensure that in your address, you are also addressing the women. You say, my brothers and sisters. If there are no sisters there, then of course you don't need to do that. But don't ignore the women. If there are women also there and you just keep saying, my brothers, then the women will feel that they are being ignored, which is what they are being ignored. So don't do that. Talk about, even you're giving examples and so on, talk about, give similes, give examples which make sense in that culture. Don't give an example from whichever culture you come from, which does not make sense in the culture of the people that you are speaking. Please understand, especially for those of you who give khutbahs in America and so on and so forth, just because the person looks like you doesn't mean they are like you. Meaning that, for example, somebody of my generation, I'm Indian. I am very comfortable living in America. I speak English fluently. I have lived here for many years. But I am Indian. My soul is Indian. I am Desi, and that's my soul. But children who are born and grown up in America, children from people of my race, they will look like me, but they are inside, they are completely different. They are American. Their culture is different. Their understanding is different. Their thinking is different. So if I speak to them the same way that I speak to my congregation back home, it won't work. I have to speak to them in the context of their culture. Please understand, don't sit in judgment on any culture. There's no such thing as a good culture and a bad culture. Alhamdulillah. Islam is wide open. As long as any culture satisfies the basic principles of Islam, of truthfulness, of dignity, of mutual respect, of non-discrimination, and these things, alhamdulillah, every single culture is good. It is not necessary to Arabize Islam in order to make it acceptable to people. Please understand this. It is not necessary to Arabize Islam. It's not that Arab Islam is superior to some other Islam. No, it is not. Islam is Islam. Islam is not Arab Islam or Indian Islam or Pakistani Islam or American Islam or Australian Islam. Islam is Islam. The basic principles of Islam, as I mentioned to you, is Tawheed. It is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu alone. It is the following of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is practicing truthfulness and compassion and integrity and brotherhood and mutual respect and total and complete non-discrimination, non-racism in everything we say and in every speech and every time we speak, in every interaction of ours, is to practice all this. That is Islam. Whether it is done in Arabic or in English or in French or in German or in Swedish, makes no difference. Islam is Islam no matter where it is. So keep your mind open, keep your heart open. Every culture is welcome. Every way of life is welcome as long as it is within the purview of the boundaries of Islam. Alhamdulillah. Don't impose your madhab or your understanding of Islam on other people and make them feel that that if they don't confirm exactly to what you are, then somehow they are bad Muslims or they are weaker Muslims or they are not Muslims at all. This is not from Islam. Please understand this. Know the audience, know the culture. Use language which is acceptable to that audience and don't say something which has the potential of causing a controversy or causing people to be offended. Be very, very clear in that. That's why I say that knowing what not to say is even more important than knowing what to say. Hands. Now, these are funny things. You know, many people, when they stand up on a platform to speak, is when they discover that they have hands. And then they don't know what to do with them. Definitely don't keep them together because they become, they are very good friends. And then you will find you are gesturing with two hands, which looks very funny. Don't hang them by your sides as if they don't belong to you, as if they are sleeves or something. Best thing to do is bring your hands up in the space between your chin and your belly button, the middle of your body. Bring the hands there, leave them, they will do the right thing. It is a very natural, instinctive reaction where our hands follow our speech. So even people, there's research done, even with people who are blind, that when they speak, their hands gesture. So gestures are the most natural thing. Bring the hands up in the around the middle of your body. Leave them there. Keep them visible. Don't put them behind your back. Definitely don't put them in your pockets. Keep them here visible and leave them, and they will make the right gestures. When you get more and more practice, then you can consciously make gestures which make sense, like counting out things, 1, 2, 3, and so forth, and other kind of gestures you can make. But don't worry too much about that. Stand in front of a mirror and practice until you become comfortable with your hands. Now with the voice, speak from the heart. So let the emotion come through, right? If you feel strongly about something, let it come through. If it brings tears to your eyes, no problem. Let the tears flow. Don't try to cry. That's riya. That is hypocrisy. Don't do that. But if when you are saying something, because of the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or because of the nature of whatever you are saying, tears come to your eyes, alhamdulillah, there is no problem. Just wipe them like this and you are done, right? Modulate your voice. Use inflection. Don't speak in the same flat tone throughout. For this, you have to also practice. The vocal cords are muscles. So the vocal cords need to practice. One of the ways of practicing is to practice the scale. If you go to go on YouTube and look at vocal singing and look for scales in English, in Western music, it is do re mi fa sol la ti do, and in Indian classical, it is sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa. So practice those scales up and down, up and down, up and down, so that your vocal cords get strengthened. This will help you also to project your voice. It will help you to speak at the right volume. The volume at which I am speaking to you now in this room with the number of people is perhaps on a scale of 1 to 10. It's perhaps at, say, 5 or so, which is appropriate, or maybe at 7. It can be a little louder. But anything which is louder than that becomes very unacceptable and very painful. So no matter how passionate you are about something, don't shout. Do not shout, especially where there are mics and you will always have a mic. Do not shout. There is nothing more painful than your voice blasting at people from all over the place. Sometimes people get very passionate and they are screaming into the mic. Please do not do that. Final point, speed of speech. I won't tell you speak at the speed of so many words per minute, because there is no way you can measure that as you speak. The best way to modulate your speech in terms of speed is to pronounce all the words, as simple as that. Just pronounce all the words and you will be doing good. As long as you pronounce all the words, you will find that you are speaking at an appropriate speed. If you run your words into one another, you're speaking too fast, and that becomes too fast and impossible for people to understand. Now, this is what, don't do that. Don't go there. And if you are speaking very slowly, then people will go to sleep. So don't do that. Either way, speak at the right pace. And what is the right pace? What is the right speed? Pronounce all the words, right? So please be very sure and that you do this. On the minbar, I always remember the advice that was given to me by one of my shuyukh, rahmatullah alayh, Nuri Shah Sahib, rahmatullah alayh. He said to me, I asked him, I said, tell me, he was a beautiful, fantastic speaker, very powerful speaker. I told him, Sheikh, please tell me, how do you do that? How is it that you speak so powerfully? He said to me, I'll say to you what he said to me in Urdu, because he spoke in Urdu, and then I will translate it for the others. He said to me, Allah Ta'ala ke haath mein baansuri ban jao. To phir Allah ki awaaz niklegi, Allah ki ka paigham bandon tak pahunchega. Now, baansuri is a flute. Now, those of you, if you know what a flute is, I'm sure you do. What is inside a flute? Nothing. A flute is a tube. It's an empty tube, right? It has some holes. And the flute player then blows into the flute, and where he puts his fingers, that tone comes out. That is the sound of the flute that comes out is decided not by the flute, not because of anything in the flute, but by the one who is playing the flute. Now he said to me, become a flute in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. empty yourself. Remove yourself from between the word of Allah and the people. Empty yourself. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause you to say that which He wants the slaves to hear. What He wants the people to hear, Allah will cause you to say that. If you put yourself in the middle, then that message will get corrupted with your ego, with your own personal ulterior motives, and so on and so forth. So he said, remove yourself from the middle. I think that's the most beautiful advice that I ever got, and I'm sharing that with you. Let the message flow, empty yourself, remove yourself, make dua and say, Allah, remove me, let your word get to your people. Make eye contact, open-handed gestures, speak to people. Now, when you are standing on the minbar, of course, depending on what kind of minbar, sometimes I have spoken in masajid where the minbar was high up in the air, and really you can't see anybody because you are up there somewhere and you are speaking. In that case, just speak to the audience. But usually the minbar will be at a reasonable height, and you can see people, you can talk to people. So talk to people. Don't try to talk to the whole room because you can't do that. Talk to the people sitting in front of you. Talk to people on either side. But talk to actual people. Look at them, at their face, smile at them and talk to them. That is what will make your khutbah something which they will pay attention to, right? Don't scan the room. There is nothing written on the walls. If you forgot, you forgot. Just move on, right? Stand straight and smile. It is not your funeral. It is not yet. So smile. It makes a big, big difference. Don't stand up there like death warmed up. Don't scowl. Don't have a dissatisfied expression on the face. You'll be surprised. Many, many people do that. And the reason they do that, these are all unconscious things. They're not doing it deliberately. That's why I said record yourself and play back. That's the best way to find out. Then there is no, you can't blame anybody for saying anything to you because you're seeing it for yourself. And always be soft-spoken. Don't shout. Don't scream. Don't get angry with people and speak from the heart. Speak from the heart. Many of you who have... who have endured me over the many years, you will say that, you are saying don't be angry with people, but sometimes you are angry. Believe me, when I'm angry, I'm angry only with people who I love very much, and they love me, and I know them, and they know me. Never, not anywhere else. So, they have been suffering me for many years, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for that. General rule, don't do that. Be kind, be nice, be soft-spoken. That is that's the safest thing to do. Now, tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq. There is nothing that supersedes that. Before you come to the mimbar, it's like being in a martial arts tournament. Whether you win in that tournament or not depends on what you did before the tournament. As somebody said, I can't recall now who said it, but it's a very beautiful, beautiful quote, not mine. He said, if you want to look good before thousands of people, that depends on what you did for thousands of hours when nobody was watching. Right? He said, if you want to look good before thousands of people, whether you can succeed or not depends on what you did for thousands of hours when nobody was watching. So tazkiyah and tarbiyah, your own heart, we need to purify our hearts. Free them from hatred, free them from greed, free them from all forms of negativity, and fill them with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fill them with the hubb and muhabbat of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill them with tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and relying only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purify the heart. Tarbiyatul akhlaq, always be nice and be polite and be kind and be compassionate and be generous. This is important because you are the message. And very, very, very important. Humility. Be humble because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only supports the humble. Allah does not support those who are not humble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah said that the people who have knowledge of Allah, the ulama, the people who have knowledge, are people with khashya. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah said that the people who among the ibad, among the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have khashyat are the people who are ulama. So therefore, humility for the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are arrogant, Allah will test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you into difficulties if you show arrogance. And if Allah puts you into difficulty, believe me, there is no one who can save you. So never have, always monitor your heart for kibr and riya. I always say kibr, arrogance is the personal illness of two kinds of people, umara and ulama. The kings and the rulers and people with authority, and the ulama, people with knowledge or people who think they have knowledge. This is kibr, which is arrogance, is their personal problem. That is their personal illness of the heart to which they are most susceptible. So kibr and riya is the other big problem, because riya is shirk, to show off is shirk. Imagine what a tragedy that would be, that you are giving this beautiful khutbah which everybody loves, and it is actually doing good to a lot of people in the congregation, but you are doing it to show off, you are doing it to appear to be this great scholar before the people, and so you are committing shirk. So at the end of the day, when the tally is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get a zero, whereas other people benefit because of what you have said. How tragic is that? Don't do that to yourself. Always monitor your heart for riya and for kibr, and continuously make istighfar. I have said this 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,000 times more. Make tahajjud fard on yourself. If you want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way to get that is through tahajjud. Now, I'm going to do some quick recapping. What must you do? Regulating of visual input. It's very important, because what happens is that nervousness happens when you stand before an audience. People looking at you, it's almost like there are rays coming out of the eyes of people impacting on your eyes. And when that happens, you become very nervous. The more people watching, looking at you, the more nervous you become. Now I'm going to teach you a trick. The trick is, look at people, but don't look directly into their eyes. Look at about this level, at their forehead. It will appear as if you are looking at them, but you will avoid this direct eye contact, which can create a lot of nervousness in you, unless you are extremely experienced in this case, but always do that. So look there, but don't look away. Don't look at the sky. Don't look at the ceiling. Don't look down. Don't look at the walls. Look at the people, but don't look directly into their eyes. Now, when you're speaking, lock your eyes with one person. Complete that thought which you are doing. Take a deep breath, and then go to another person. Complete a thought with that person. Pause. Take a deep breath. Go to a third person. Complete a thought with that person. Take a deep breath. This is how you cover the people in the audience. It's not a tennis match. Don't talk and go up and down like this. Don't do that. And don't get stuck with one person, because you have this person with a friendly face sitting right in front of you who's nodding and so on, and you get stuck with one person. Don't do that. Look at a person. Lock your eyes with one person. And lock your eyes doesn't mean, gaze deeply into their soul. I mean, just look at them. Look at them. Complete the thought. Take a deep breath and then go to another person. Don't shut your eyes while speaking. I mean, there's some people who are good speakers, but they shut their eyes while they are speaking, and it looks very, very odd. It looks as if you have forgotten something. You're trying to concentrate because your eyes are shut. See how bad it looks. Don't do that. Do not do that yourself. By all means, be cheerful, but don't be frivolous. Don't make jokes. Some humor coming as a consequence of the natural part of the flow of your conversation is fine, but don't tell jokes. The khutbah is not a place for frivolousness and for joking. I mentioned gestures already. Let your gestures emphasize key points. I want you to remember three things. One, two, three. So you're emphasizing key points, right? So be very clear about the gestures. Don't make purposeless gestures. Don't keep moving around. I tell people usually don't carry anything in your hand, because if you have something in your hand, you will keep fidgeting with it, and then it will drop and you will grab it and all that. Similarly, anyone who's wearing a ring and so forth, I sometimes tell people, remove the ring, put it in your pocket. Because if the ring is there, then the tendency is to keep playing with the ring. Don't do that. Keep your hands free. The hands are necessary for gestures. Understand, everybody is nervous. Anybody is people are nervous. Two things to do with about nervousness. The more you rehearse, the more you prepare, the less nervous you will be. And secondly, stand straight, smile, look at people, and inshallah, your nervousness will not be there. Continuously make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Final point on this, on the matter of gestures, please understand that gestures are culture specific. There are some gestures which are peculiar to some cultures. There are the same gesture done in another culture can be offensive. So be clear about the culture of the people you are talking. For example, in this culture in America, if I want to agree with you, I will say, fantastic, great job, brilliant, right? So this gesture is a positive gesture in this culture. But in some other cultures, this gesture means, you know, you are useless. Go away, get out, worthless, you know. Angotha dikhata hai. So now imagine, the same gesture in some other culture, it can become negative. So be very clear about that, about what you do with gestures. Now, cheerful, sincere, speak the language of togetherness. Join hearts. Do not speak the language of divisiveness. Right? Be very, very clear in your mind. Do not speak the language of divisiveness. Do not give any traction to anyone who speaks the language of divisiveness. The khutbah is not, and the member is not the place. Divisiveness is, in any case, there's no place for divisiveness in Islam anyway. So please don't do that. Be careful of nationalities, be careful of gender, be careful of ethnicity of people, and ensure that you are not, you never say something which is offensive to anybody in the audience. And finally, I repeat myself deliberately, give people something to do. Don't just leave there without giving a clear message of what you want people to do after they go home. Reminder about don'ts. Never speak without preparation. If you have not prepared, don't do the khutbah. If you are going to do a khutbah, always prepare. Number two, never use the minbar to attack people. Doesn't matter what your justification is, do not criticize people from the minbar. Never use the minbar to attack people. Number three, the minbar is not the place for you to speak about controversial issues, so never speak about controversial issues. Never say anything without its dalil. Very important to have your dalail clear, and never say something which is discriminatory, which is divisive or defamatory. Always, always remember these things. We are coming to the ending of our lecture. Just a few more points I want to make. Use the language of the Quran, right? Recite the ayah, learn to recite it properly and recite the ayah of the Quran. Don't just give the translation. Use the words of the Quran. For example, say ayah, don't say verse. The Quran is not a book of verses, it's not a book of poetry, it's a book of ayat, it's a book of signs. Say Allah, don't say God, because Allah is the proper noun, Allah is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God is a generic term, so don't say God, say Allah. Don't say Rabb, don't say Lord, because people interpret Lord in their own way, right? Lord Ganesha, Lord Krishna, and so on and so forth. Lord Rama, we are not talking Lord, we're saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, He is the Rabb. Say Jannah and Jahannam, don't say paradise and hell. Say taqwa, don't say fear Allah. The reason is, many times people say, oh, but you see, they don't understand. If they don't understand, they will ask you a question, and that opens the door for dawah for you. The fact is that they will not understand. They will understand it in their own way, which is wrong and which is different from your perspective. So when you are using a term in your over anxiety for people to understand, you are actually using terms which the meaning of which is completely different from the way that term means in Islam. So therefore, use the actual language of the Quran and understand that when you say that, people, it will prompt people to ask you questions, which is the best thing for you as far as Dawat of Islam is concerned. So quick recap, 10 points. First of all, check your ikhlas and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Number two, stand straight, smile, and cover your head. Number three, keep your notes handy. and speak with adab. Say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Say Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Say Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Say Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Say Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Say Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Say Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha. Don't say Abu Bakr and Umar said this. Rasulullah said this. No. Always, always, always address them with respect. That is their due. And that shows your own adab. Anybody who speaks without adab on the minbar is not fit to be on the minbar. Anyone who is on the minbar and he simply says Muhammad and Abu Bakr and Omar and Osman and so forth is unfit to be a khatib. So don't do that. Speak with adab because it is their right and it is a mark of your own belonging to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Speak from the heart and speak only to please Allah. Number five, recite Quran and give lot of dua to the congregation. It is their right that you should make dua for them and it is your duty as a khatib to do that. Please understand, it is not a performance. So substance over style, very important. Be optimistic, point number six, be optimistic and be positive, never complain. If we don't have optimism, if we Muslims don't have positivity, then believe me, who on earth should have it? Number seven, be cheerful, sincere, genuine smile. Number eight, never speak about controversial issues. Number nine, never say anything which is divisive, discriminatory, or nasty, or defamatory in any way. And number 10, give them a takeaway, some action to do back home. Always speak kindly and always speak the language of togetherness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, General Jalla Jalaluhu, to be pleased with you, to inspire you to say things that will please him, to inspire you and give you the words which will reach the hearts of people. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as and to give you in keeping with his majesty and grace and to reward you with the best of the best. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your khutbahs a witness for you in your favor and a means of increasing the weight of hasanat on your scales on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.